Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Please stay tuned and worship with us on this Lord's Day. Once again, we have celebrated the birthday of Christ our King. This is God's gift to the world. On this Sunday after Christmas, we need to ask, what can I give in return for this unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ? The answer is obviously very little can I give in comparison to what God has given me. Yet we always realize that every gift elicits a response. We'll discuss in the sermon today our response as we center our thoughts around the theme, Eyes Fixed on Jesus. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly. And let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and he is now seated at the right side of God's throne. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, we are now one day away from the celebration of our Lord's birth. For these many weeks, as we have prepared for Christmas and now celebrated it, we have thought of God's tremendous gift to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. I wonder if you are now not ready with me to ask the question, how do we respond to this? What do we give in return for God's unspeakable gift? We know that the answer is obvious. We cannot begin to give God back what he has given to us. And yet we know to shrug our shoulders and to say, well, there's nothing that I can give in return, is not living according to the Word of God. For the Word of God makes it very clear that our Lord wants us to respond to that gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. So I'd like to really preach what I imagine you would call a stewardship sermon today. If you feel that it is out of place while we are yet in the Christmas season, maybe you will not want to listen very long. But I think that this is a great time to talk about our giving in return for what Jesus Christ has given to us. The Christian steward is one who stands in a personal relationship with God. First, one has to be in that relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ before his giving to the kingdom ever takes on the form of real stewardship. When one trusts Jesus Christ, he is anxious to do his will, and therefore he gives serious consideration to what part of his life he can return to the Lord in thanksgiving for all that God has given to him. I believe that there are many Christian people today who have never related their giving to their Christian life. I remember one time when I was but a young pastor that there was an elderly gentleman who came into my church, to my study, and began to react to the sermon that I had preached on a stewardship Sunday. In that sermon, I had made a strong point of this one biblical truth, that our giving is definitely related to our relationship with Almighty God. The elderly gentleman, who was a fine Christian person, said, "You know, you cannot buy your way into the kingdom of heaven." All of that I agreed with, but I was anxious to go on to say to him that a fruit of our faith is to return to the Lord just a portion of what he has given to us. I went through some biblical passages with him, and finally he said, "Well, I don't imagine that I can argue with the scriptures, but I wonder if what you're saying is really right. It has never been brought to me. At least I have never realized that my giving had anything to do with my personal relationship with Christ." You know, friend, theoretically, I'm sure that many of us would say, "Well, that man was most naive." But practically speaking, I wonder if we often do not follow in his footsteps. My stewardship, my giving, is one particular aspect of life, but it does not have anything to do with my relationship with God. My giving to the church is a way that the congregation to which I belong is financed. But my salvation is not tied in to those monetary gifts. I recall one time when I was also preaching a sermon along the line of stewardship that I was trying to say to the congregation, "You know, we can divide ourselves into six groups." And this was not an original illustration with me. There is an inner group, those who trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. They are generally referred to as the faithful, the core group, which is found in every congregation. One might ask the question, why do you put these people into three groups? If they are believers in Jesus Christ, are they not all in one group? But the person who has tried to give us this picture has brought out that we grow in grace and holiness. Therefore, in a sanctified life, there is always growth. There is advancement in our relationship with the Lord. Therefore, here would be one part of the congregation. The fourth group would be those whom you may call the seekers. They are anxious to know more about the gospel. They realize that Jesus Christ has a real contribution to make to their lives, but they have yet come to the place where they have turned their lives over to Jesus Christ. And then there are those who are called the respecters. They find themselves in the fifth group. They sometimes are considered the nicest people in the congregation. They are so thankful for all that is being done for them in a spiritual way. They're grateful that the congregation instructs their children and cares for their youth, and even is willing to take care of the elderly in one of the homes for the aged when that is necessary. But these respecters have never become involved in the work of God's kingdom. And then there is that sixth group who joins a church for ulterior motives, and you can only call them the indifferent. When I said to my congregation on a particular day, "You know, unless you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Word of God says that you do not have to return anything to the Lord. After all, God does not depend upon unbelievers to finance his kingdom? The unbeliever who may belong to the congregation is not a part of the missionary force of the church. He is the mission of the church. When I made that statement that these people could feel that they were off the hook and they did not have to feel obligated to give anything to the work of the congregation, there was a leader who came to me between our services and said, "At the second service, Pastor, please don't say that again. We need every nickel that we can get from every person, regardless of whether he is a believer or not." I said to my good friend, "You know, usually I give great heed to what the leaders of the congregation are saying, but what you are saying is so contrary to the Word of God that I'm sorry, I will have to repeat it again and again and again." Stewardship, my friend, the giving of ourselves in our talent, in our time, and in our money is in direct relationship to what our relationship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's rather interesting, isn't it, when we take this only from the standpoint of the monetary, that we are living in a day when our stewardship is tested. The economy of which we are a part is less stable than it used to be. Around our nation, there is a great deal of unemployment. There is a decline in business. There is a distressed agricultural economy which affects those of us who live in Middle America. We have to ask ourselves the question, how does my stewardship respond when I am living in an economy such as this? Is it really true that my stewardship is in direct relationship to my relationship with the Lord? That's what makes stewardship in this day so very, very exciting. You know, it is always interesting to see how something strong, at least that appears strong, is really healthy or not. We have had a strong economy, and as a result of that, there's been a tremendous response on the part of many people, and millions of dollars have been given to the cause of Christ's kingdom. But now the economy is not as strong. We are under sort of a stress, and the question is, will this stewardship, which has appeared to be healthy, stand the test? Some weeks ago, I was completing my physical examination. The internist to which I have gone for more than 20 years said to me, "You know, I think we ought to do a stress test on you." I'd never had a stress test. That's a test, in case you do not know, where you get on a rolling mat and you run. And as you run, the cardiogram is taken, and they're able to determine how well your heart is responding under stress. Isn't that the way it is with our stewardship? When I lie on the cot in my doctor's office and there is no stress whatsoever, I come forth with a very good cardiogram. But when I am on the stress test, this is something just a little bit different. It begins to show a few flaws and a heart that is pumped for many a year. With our stewardship, when all is going well, when there is an affluency, then is it not possible that we can really give? Probably we're giving off the top of all that we have. But when there is stress, when I have to look at my checkbook, when I wonder about whether I will be among those who are the unemployed, then I ask the question, should I really give out of love to my Savior who has come into this world, born in Bethlehem's manger, to die on a cross? The writer of the book of Hebrews has given us some good instruction in how the Christian is to live. And a part of that Christian life is certainly reflected in our stewardship. In those two verses which I read for you this day, from the 12th chapter of the Gospel of the book of Hebrews, there are three little statements that begin with this phrase, "Let us do this, let us do that." The first one is, let us speak to what the Lord Jesus has done for us. In other words, he is saying, let us run with determination the race which lies before us. Our world needs to hear about that Savior whose birth we have now celebrated. Our world needs to be brought into contact with that Savior who alone can change lives and forgive sins and bind people together and to their Heavenly Father. Now, in order for the Church of Jesus Christ to bring the message of the Christmas gospel throughout the year to our nation requires on the part of God's people a portion of their time and their money. That's the race we're in. That's the contest that we have. And the writer of the book says, with this in mind, let us run the race. He goes on to say, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which holds on to us tightly. Let's lay aside every weight, another version of the Bible says. What is that weight for many of us today who have not been affected by unemployment and where there are still profits in our business? The weight is fear. Will I have enough for myself? And so I reluctantly hold back just a bit. No, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, let us rid ourselves of that fear, which is sin. And then let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. We have had our eyes fixed on him as he lay there in the manger. Throughout the rest of the year, my friend, let us keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Not on man's predictions regarding the future, but on Christ who said to those who believed in him, fear not, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Those are the words that come from a loving Lord. Yes, I am grateful that the Word of God has made it so very, very clear that he has given to us his only begotten Son. And now he asks us to respond and to give ourselves, our time, our talent, and our money for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. I am excited to see how in this new year which is before us, members of the congregation which I serve will seriously accept the teaching of God's word regarding their giving. And I am sure that your pastor will be as excited to see what will happen in his church. What will our stewardship be like, our giving, when it is under a stress test? Amen.
Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather, nestling birds.
Pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you have come into this world to be our Savior. We thank you for this Christmas season, that time of the year, Lord, when we have been able to shut out the world for just a moment and to hear the angels say, for there has been born to us a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Grant, O God, that we may be given the grace now to follow you throughout the year. grant that our stewardship may be acceptable in your sight, that we may be willing to give of our time and our money for the furtherance of the gospel, that people may hear they have a Savior too. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You are tuned to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We are pleased to have you worshiping with us this day. We hope you will tune in every Sunday on the same station and hear Pastor Larson. We are thankful that through radio communication, Pastor Larson's sermons can reach such a widespread audience. Response from you, the listener, is very important to Christian Crusaders. Your gifts are needed and appreciated. Support for this radio ministry is through friends like you. Therefore, it's important that we know you are a part of Christian Crusaders Radio Congregation on this station. Address your letters and your gifts to Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa. Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa, zip code 50704. Attractive memorial cards from Christian Crusaders are now available free for your use, and printed copies of the sermons heard on these broadcasts are also available for the asking. The address again is Christian Crusaders, Box 451, Waterloo, Iowa, 50704. Conducting the service today, as on every Sunday, was the Reverend Homer Larson, pastor of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders.